SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Waminda, a female-led Aboriginal women's health and wellbeing organisation based on the south coast of New South Wales, is celebrating its 40th anniversary. Joining us on NITV Radio to get some insights into the organisation and this remarkable milestone, I'm joined by Cleone Wellington, Waminda Chief Executive Leader, Culture and Connection. Cleone, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Reflecting on Waminda's 40-year journey, what do you believe has been the most significant achievement in the organization's history?
That's a hard question because as an organization, 40 years, it's been a journey that's been up and down. It's come up against its challenges. When I think about the 40 years of Waminda, its greatest feat is just staying, you know, staying operational and actually being able to get to a year to say 40 years. Our biggest achievement just recently would be the birthing centre. So actually being able to come to a point in our existence where we can build our own birth centre in our own right and be able to have that reclamation of birthing and having it a ceremony. There's been plenty of different achievements along the years. And when I very first came to Waminda, there was 8 to 10 staff. And I've been at Waminda now for 16 years. And now we're at 170 staff. We operate out of 14 different buildings. You know, we own 3 of the different properties. So yeah, there's actually been a lot of achievements that's actually happened. And I think the biggest thing is just being able to keep this space for our women where they feel safe and where they feel ownership and they can get the support that they need.
You've been with the organisation for 16 years, which is almost half the organisation's existence.
Yeah.
Can you share a personal story or memory from your time with Waminda that highlights the power of Aboriginal women's leadership?
I would think my own story, which is a lot of our staff members' stories within Waminda. When I first came, I was employed as a receptionist. And over those 16 years, I've been able to build on my skills, my knowledge, been able to go away and train in leadership and management, where I've been able to work my way up to then becoming a chief executive leader. So actually being able to run the organisation along for 3 other women. So, you know, I think that's a big achievement. So especially within my lifetime within Waminda is being able to work my way up to a role where as part of a shared leadership model where there's 4 of us Kuyu women standing beside each other, not just having the one CEO. So really pushing back on the westernised structure of what management and leadership looks like and actually making it ours and making it our way. And so I feel like for me, as an Aboriginal woman from our community, I've just been able to grow and find my voice and been able to find that leadership within myself and honour those that have walked this pathway before us and before me and been able to make this possible. And for all the other Koori women who are employed in our organisation, you know, who are in leadership roles, similar stories for them. You know, when people are employed, they're very rarely employed into a management role. All of our women have been grown, been built capacity and had training and been able to work their way up to being leaders. So, yeah, I think that's a big highlight for me. I never thought I'd be in a position that I'm in where I'm actually running an organisation beside 3 other women and doing this work.
You know, it's a unique leadership structure because usually you have 1 or 2 people just at the head, but Waminda has 4 chief executive leaders, including yourself. Mm. How did this, can you tell us a little bit more how the organization came up with the idea of running structure with the four executive leaders instead of one or two, because usually we have a co-chair, one chair and a co-chair, and that's all. But you have four.
Yeah. So I think for us as an organisation, being a decolonising practice, so what that means is we do things our way, and whenever we're working as an organisation and our structures within the organisation, it's always about connecting back to who we are as a, you know, our culture, our law and our systems. When I think about our culture, you know, our leaders were our elders, and there was always a group of elders. There wasn't just one person. And so for us, when we think about our shared leadership, that's how we think about it. We think about it's actually reclaiming that leadership and that management and knowing that how we need it to run. And because of the organisation being such a large organisation and we're growing every year, we've got high retention rate, we're providing new programs, and like I said, we're building a birth centre, but we're also building a refuge and a rehab. That's a lot of work and that's a lot to carry. Just this year in July that we stepped into our roles or transitioned from being executive to chief executives, you know, there was the one CEO for all those years, but she was actually, Faye Warner, she was training us in our roles as executives and giving us the skills that we needed to make this transition, because we feel that being, you know, Aboriginal women, when we're working with our community, we are our community. We're not separate. So whatever our community carries, the trauma, you know, the impacts of colonisation, racism, that's actually us as four Koori women as well. So for us, it takes four of us to actually do this work together. And when talking about our shared leadership model, it's all about matriarchal structures and matriarchal ways of being, knowing and doing. So women always leading. And for us, we know that we can actually do the work we need to for our community 1,000 times better if we do it together. And there's four of us. And even though I'm saying there's four of us, there's actually more of us. You know, we've got other Koori women who are in leadership roles within Wamindo who actually are a part of the senior balangs, and they stand beside us and walk this journey with us. So it's a really big load of responsibility and obligation that we have to, you know, carry out and deliver the services that we do. And we're really committed to that work. And, you know, we're passionate because this is our lives and this is our people and this is our families that we're trying to make a change for. And so for us, you know, it just seemed like a no-brainer to say, okay, well, how about the four of us lead? Because there was a time where we were like, oh, would you do the CEO position and the three of us be deputies? And we had that conversation, but we just feel, I suppose, more empowered to be together as the four of us. And it actually works within our organisation and our staff. We've brought our staff along that journey so that they can understand what that shared leadership model looks like, because, you know, it is different. A lot of people aren't doing a shared leadership model the way that we're doing it. And so our staff have been able to actually inform what that looks like as well and taking back their feedback. But yeah, for us, it's just knowing that there's four of us that actually hold this organisation and we hold the responsibility, and we know that we can do that 10 times better when we do that together.
It's a unique model, and it sounds like the way you describe it as a very successful one. Now, to mark the 40 years, Wamindo is holding a really big event, a Strong Women, Strong Community, Leading the Way. It's a big conference. What message do you hope to convey to attendees, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal attendees at this conference?
Oh, look, I just think it's going to be amazing having all these Aboriginal women from all different clans from across the country coming together to share our stories, to share our knowledge, share our leadership and our wisdom, and being able to really get to the grassroots and talk about how can we change this for the betterment of our people across all different countries, you know. And when I say countries, I'm talking about clans within Australia. I think for me, when I think about the 40 years of Wamindo, you know, we had our 40-year luncheon, which was for our local aunties to come together to celebrate them on their own. And then this being a national conference, we're able to invite women that we've met along our journey of the 40 years and being a part of different programs, different research, all different types of areas. And, coming together to celebrate women together. But I think the biggest part of this is about, you know, we as women, we hold the responsibility within our families to make change, and we hold a lot of that with us. And so for us, we know that us as women, if we work together, you know, there's nothing we can't do, and we're a bit of an unstoppable force, I would like to say. And so I feel like that's what's going to come through at this conference. You're going to hear women who have been, you know, fighting for our people, fighting for our rights for a very long time, you know, in different areas, so in different sectors, government, non-government, you know, women who are coming through media, you know, there's all different areas, there's social and emotional well-being, you know, we're talking about nation building, you know, actually talking about how do we build up our communities, how do we build up our communities so that they're no longer just surviving, but they're thriving. They're learning their culture, they're learning language, they're learning, you know, our practices, our protocols, but also being strong and being wealthy within the Western society. So, you know, we can have the best of our both worlds, because one world is our culture, our belonging, our identity, and the other world is this Westernized world that we've been forced and conditioned to live in. But we want to thrive in both. And so I feel like this is what this conference is all about, just bringing all of us women together and being able to celebrate that as well. I feel like when we go away to conferences for too many times, it's always in a deficit. And it's true. Our people, you know, when we talk about closing the gap and we talk about all those horrible statistics and how we die earlier and how our children are being removed, our people are being incarcerated, and, you know, even our youth, and there's all the deficit side of it, which is, it's truth-telling, but we want to talk about it in a way where it's strength-based. How do we come together and how do we make change, and how we're actually doing that together as community and as Aboriginal women.
Yeah, and the event is bringing together really some heavyweights in First Nations leadership, including the former Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner, mm-hmm. Auntie June Oscar, you've got Auntie Jackie Huggins, Provera Yvette Rowe, Michelle Deschong, Professor Rowan West, Dr. Janine Getz, and many, many more. How did you manage to convince all these heavyweights to take time to join you in your conference?
All those women that you've just mentioned, they're women that we've actually connected with. So we've gone out, we've gone to, you know, we've seen some of them at conferences, and we've been really inspired about what they've done in their lifetime. Or, you know, we've gone on to their country. They've invited us as a model of care, of leadership of Aboriginal women. These women, we actually got a direct connection with them. And so for us, being able to bring them here onto our country, for some of them, it's, you know, they've been dying to come down to our country because they've had us on their country. And so it's about, you know, coming together and being able to share that. When you talk about these particular women, we're all like-minded. We all come together for our people. So it actually doesn't take much for us to come together and support each other. And being the only Aboriginal women's service in Australia, in the services that we provide and that wrap around holistic decolonising practice of care, you know, no one else is doing that. So these women that we've invited, you know, they want to be a part of that, and we want them to be a part of this journey of Wilminda, and we're a part of their journey. So it's always about that connection and about, you know, making that change for our people. And that's why I think that they're more than happy to come down and come to Nowra, which is on the south coast of New South Wales. You know, we're not a really big town, but I think these women know that the work that we do in our community, it can make change and it can make a difference. And so, and that's what they're doing in their community. So it's just, it just makes sense for us to come together and being able to share our journeys.
One last question about you, your work. And as a leader who honours the legacy of your great-grandmothers and grandmothers, how do you incorporate their wisdom into your work at Wilminda, and what lessons do you hope to pass on to the next generation?
When talking about our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, that's within us. We're born. That's who's birthed us. So that knowledge and that wisdom is actually through our bloodlines. That's given to us through birth. So when we talk about walking in their footsteps, they've already paved this pathway for us. We, as the chief executives, talk about this all the time. We feel like, you know, this pathway was paid for us, and then we, you know, we were chosen to do this. And we feel like that's our ancestors has chosen us to do this work because they know that we can do it. And so for us, as, you know, an organisation, when talking about our great-grandmothers, it's always acknowledging, you know, what they went through, the racism, but also it's about celebrating their strengths, their love, their wisdom, and, you know, their nurture and their kindness and their resilience. That's what it's always about. So for us as an organisation, it's quite natural for us just to be like that because we are them. They've actually shaped us and they've created who we are as people today. They've instilled our values. They've instilled, you know, our principles and who we are as Aboriginal women, you know, strong Aboriginal women, strong, staunch Aboriginal women. And so that's born into us. So that's something as an organisation that isn't hard for us to do, because who I am outside of Wominda in the community is who I am inside of Wominda. I don't wear different hats. I don't change who I am. You know, what my values are outside of Wominda is the same as what it is in Wominda. So it just makes it easy to come into a space where we're all together. We all know what we're here for. We all want to be a part of the change for our people, changing systems. You know, actually having this country acknowledge and have respect for its First Nations people, which is the oldest living culture in the world. And so for us, that's what it's about. So that's what our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, that's what they've handed on to us to live out and to keep doing the work for our future generations, because there's a lot of work to be done. You know, coming out of the referendum with a no vote, and, you know, that was just another point in time where this country just shows where we're at and the work that we need to do, and we need to continue doing that work. So, yeah, for me, when we talk about our great-grandmothers and our grandmothers, I feel like when I speak, I'm speaking on their behalf, and I'm very honoured to be able to do that, and I know how important that is, and so I do take that with, you know, a great honour to be able to stand and do what I do today in my role alongside my sisters.
Leon Wellington, Waminda Chief Executive Leader, Culture and Connection, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on NITV Radio ahead of the 40th anniversary of Waminda. Thanks a lot for joining us, and congratulations on the upcoming anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.